Now, this man didn't lose his faith. This man still is holding on to God. And now the scene is in heaven. And we come to chapter 2. Now, will you notice this? Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. They all have to report to God. You and I are going to report someday. And again, you remember we looked at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to report on our stewardship down here. That's where Christians come. That's not the great white throne judgment. And we're going to give an account. And here the creatures of God come and they have to make a report. Well, he's God, friends. You're not God, and you're not operating free today. I hear so much about, we want liberty. How much liberty do you have? A grasshopper can jump higher than you can jump according to his size. If you could jump like a grasshopper, you could jump over the tallest building that's in the world today, but you can't do it. What about your liberties, your freedom that you talk about today? May I say to you, you're a creature of God. You're going to have to answer to him. And here they're all turning in their report. And even Satan had to come. He's not beyond the... And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? He has to report. God already knew, but he's got to tell the Lord. And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. I've been down in my bailiwick. I'm running that place down there now, and I think he's still running it. Looks like it when I look about me today. Verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Now let's understand, what happened to Job happened without a cause. Now somebody is always saying, why does God let this happen to me? You know, it may be the Lord will say, well, there was no reason for it. Actually, no reason. I wasn't whipping you. I wasn't punishing you. I was just bringing you up a little higher. That's what he did with Job. But it was without a cause. And sometimes today we point our finger at a believer and say, oh, God is whipping him. He may not. He may be testing him in a way. He can't test you and me because he couldn't trust us with the trouble. And very frankly, I'd never want to go through what Job went through. The Lord called Satan's particular attention to Job again. He said that this man still serves me. You said if I permitted you to take away from him everything, why, he'd turn his back on me, but he hasn't. He maintains his integrity. Now, verse 4 of chapter 2 of Job. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. You know, Satan is accurate about many of us, that there's a chink in our armor, that there is that Achilles heel that we've all got, there's that weakness, and when we get right down to the bare bones, why, we all cave in. But, you know, God has said to us that he's not going to permit any temptation to come to us, yet we're going to be defeated completely. But he always will, with the temptation, make a way of escape for us. And he never lets us bear more than we can stand. We ought to recognize that. And I don't know who you are, where you are, how you are, but wherever you are, why, whatever you're going through, God is able to sustain you. And he's not going to let you bear more than you can bear. That's a great comfort. I do not know what a day will bring forth. It could be tragic beyond words, or it could be a delightful, wonderful day. But whichever it is, God says, I'm going to enable you to get through it. Your armor will stand up. I'll see to that. And that's a wonderful thing to know. And Satan is a liar. He's a liar here. He says that Job, he'll give anything for his soul. And so what happens? Satan says, but put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. Now, scene 5 comes before us. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Satan leaves the presence of the Lord. Now he smites his body with sore boils. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Now this is the fifth scene that we have before us. This man, of course, is being tested in every department and every part of his life. And actually, what Satan is attempting to do is to break him down, you see. He's lost his finances. He's lost his family. And his physical body is now being attacked. And there's seemingly no human explanation for the trouble of Job. It's not a punishment for any sin. And it's senseless without a proper insight. And that's the reason God gives it to us, the beginning of the book, so we will understand. Now, what was happening to Job was for a lofty and worthy purpose. There was a good and sufficient reason in the eternal counsels of God. And when all the facts were in, all the facets considered, God has a purpose in that. It was discipline. You can say it's good for Job. Well, it's like the old chestnut. You remember the father whipping little Willie and told him, says, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And little Willie says, yes, but not in the same place. That's true here, by the way. It's good for Job, but his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not ours. And we deliver our children from suffering. We prevent it. We give them everything we can afford to make life pleasant for them, and we spoil them, and we've got a spoiled generation today. A man said to me some time ago, I regret the day I gave my boy a car in college. I'm sorry I did it. Now, the day came when Job realized that there was something good was coming out of his experience, but he did not understand that at first at all. And it was good for Job. Now, it was for the glory of God. God's character has been impugned. Just think of that. I think the creatures in heaven, all these created intelligences, shuddered, the sons of God, when they heard this creature, Satan, cast that aspersion on God. You're not worthy to be loved. You have to pay him to love you, pay Job to love you and serve you. And that is, God had paid lovers. He had to bribe Job. And that God is not worth loving because of himself. Well, are we time servers? God's good. God's merciful. We rejoice in his goodness. But when we're under trial, that's when we reveal our true mettle, by the way. You know, the fires always burn out the dross. And testing reveals what's genuine. And we're to be lights in the world. Light is for darkness. And he puts us in the darkness so the light will shine. Now, God never promised today any of his children that they'd have an easy time. On the contrary, he promised a rough time to come. That's something that's difficult, by the way, to express. There's no pain, there'll be no palm. There has to be the suffering. No contest, no struggle. Well, there'll be no scepter either. It's difficult for us to bow under the awful hand of Almighty God. The reason Paul could say, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, what kind of trouble did Job have? We're told that he had sore boils, and he scraped himself with a potsherd. That is a piece of broken pottery. You see, now the scene's going to move down. This last scene takes place on the dump heap outside of an Oriental city, out where they dumped everything. Job was out there, picked up a piece of broken pottery, began to scrape himself. Must have been terrible. There's been a great deal of speculation among Christian doctors just what Job had. I'd like to pass on to you what a couple of English doctors several years ago in London said. Dr. Cedric Harvey He suggested that Job, whose long-suffering affliction with a plague of boils that's described in the Old Testament, was a victim of psychosomatic dermatitis. Now, there's a good one for you. And the Word of God says he had boils. And this doctor says, and he's a Christian doctor, he has psychosomatic dermatitis. Well, that just shows what becoming a doctor will do for you. And that's a skin disease induced by anxiety. Well, I don't think that's the explanation myself, but the doctor couldn't diagnose it personally anyway, so I can contradict him. Then Dr. Harvey goes on to say that, and this was written up in a medical magazine, that a study of the Old Testament points up Job's insomnia, terrifying dreams, general state of anxiety, now generally accepted as symptoms of psychosomatic dermatitis. So when you have to scratch next time, you know what you got at least. It's psychosomatic dermatitis. Now, some years ago, Dr. Charles J. Brim, a New York heart specialist, diagnosed Job's illness as pellagra, a vitamin deficiency disease. Now, you can take your choice. I hope you won't mind if I just say he had boils. And there are some of us think he could have had cancer, by the way. But now, whatever it is, this man is in real trouble. And I'm going to mention next time how Satan is moving in on this man and taking away from him all that any man in dignity rests upon in this life. Now, will you notice here, we are now introduced to his wife, and listen to her. Verse 9, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" And Job did retain his integrity. Satan is beating at that. He's beating him down where he doesn't even want to call himself a man, you see. But he says, "Do you retain your integrity? Curse God and die." Now, that's a strange advice coming from a wife. Apparently, she wanted to be a widow, but she sees the suffering he's going through, and probably it's a tender suggestion. Doesn't sound that way, but this is a suggestion, and she says, "Curse God and die." Now, there have been those that take the position that Satan, you note, did not remove the wife of Job, removed everything else, and why? Well, she wasn't any help to him. In fact, she might do the devil's bidding, you see. And he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil?" In all this did not Job sin with his lips. This man, Job, up to this point now, has maintained his integrity. And now, actually, the book of Job begins at this point, here at verse 11. You have here now the integrity of the man attacked. And three friends, that is so-called three friends of Job, come to visit now and comfort him. And we should get introduced to them. Verse 11, and I'm reading it. "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him." Now, this, I think, is very important to see. First of all, Eliphaz the Temanite, we're going to get acquainted with all of them, by the way. He was a grandson of Esau, and that's in Genesis 36, verses 10 and 11. Now, Bildad, a Shuhite, Shua was a son of Abraham, and that's in Genesis 25, 2, by the way. And that puts him, you see, at the time of the patriarchs. And then you have Zophar, a Naamathite, and Naamah was in northern Arabia. So now we can locate places, and that, of course, must put Job in that area somewhere. Now, these men come to mourn with Job. And since I'm going to say some very ugly things about his friends, I think probably we ought to say what we can say good about them. And they were friends until this happened. And this experience alienated them from Job. And the reason was they did not know God, nor did they know why God does certain things. And I think that's the reason that even today, many of us ought to be very careful about trying to explain why certain things happen to other people. We have no right to say, well, now God's let that happen to so-and-so for this reason. And then we generally tell the people the reason, and it isn't always a good one. Well, how do you know that's the reason? Now, these men were just as sure as we are today of why certain things happened. But they were entirely wrong. But they were friends of Job. And you'd say to me, well, how do you know? Well, listen to them. Verse 12, and when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle, sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now these men had heard that their friend Job was in trouble. They didn't dream that it was as severe as it was. These men, at last time they'd seen him in a beautiful home, children around him, fine sons and daughters. They saw the wealth of Job spread out there upon the landscape. And now they come to visit their friend. They think at least that he must be in his home. He must still have a luxurious home, but he's out there at the dump heap of the town where they empty the garbage. And he's scraping himself with an old broken piece of pottery. And he doesn't have anything. It's all gone. Poor Job. And these friends, they were friends. They mourned. They wept. They howled. And for 7 days, they sat down there and didn't say a word. They just sat with Job 7 days and 7 nights. I would say they're friends. That is, as far as they knew, they tried to be friendly to him. And they sat down with him 7 days. Now, they mourned with him during this full week, but they were in no position to comfort Job. To begin with, they do not understand God. Second, they do not understand Job. And third, they do not understand themselves. You know, they merely just shake their heads in a knowing manner, doing the 7 days of mourning. There they sit. They shake their heads. They're mourning for 7 days. But that shaking their head, may I say to you, that wasn't very good. And what we have here is this. Job comes in under, finally, their critical eye. These men, they're brilliant men. They're philosophers, all of them. Men in that day did a great deal of thinking. No 7 days they're thinking. And they all come to one conclusion. They come to it from a different direction, that Job must be an awful sinner for these things to happen to him, and that God's punishing him, and he just better get his life straightened out. Now, that's the way that they come. Now, what we have here, finally, Job can't stand it any longer. They're beginning to shake their head in a knowing way, and that smirk on their face. It finally comes out, Brother Job. You've been living in sin, and you gave the impression that you were such a pious individual. And now we know that this has come to you because your sin is out at last. Well, Job can't take that. He could take everything else that happened to him, but he can't take this.